there's something very significant that's happening right now. The Bible says that there'll come a time when everything's going to be separated, the wheat and the tares and all of those types of things. And although that's not what I'm preaching on today, I never realized how fast those things happen together. And we're at a place in this church where it's a very uncomfortable place where we've never been before. Because I have no problem with revealing my heart and the fact that I've struggled in the past with many different things. One thing being ego, pride, and arrogance. Thinking I'm something more than I am. But for this church to go where it has to go and to be Jesus to everybody means that that can't go with us. Amen. And I am the first person to say that everything starts and stops with me. So under this anointing, just like we did in the back, we take authority over every hindering spirit that would stop what the Word and Jesus Himself would have happen in this place today and from this day forward. Father, I thank You that Your Word is final. What You have to say is final. Not what any person in this room, not what I have to say, not what flesh has to say, but what You have to say. And today, Lord, our eyes are stayed upon You, and we have perfect peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, praise team. Y'all helped me battle through that this morning. Y'all did a good job. Let them know they did a good job, church. I do need to make a couple of quick announcements. I'll save the most important announcement till last. The first announcement is, listen, I completely apologize to anybody and everybody that came to prayer Thursday night. Y'all, like an idiot husband, I forgot it was Valentine's Day. And although I had all my stuff together, I forgot I'd set up a prayer meeting for y'all, which is completely unfair. So I tried to reach as many people as I could, but I didn't get everybody. And if you came for prayer Thursday night and the door was locked, from the bottom of my heart, I apologize. I do. That was completely on me and nobody else. But praise God, everybody came in Friday night. And my understanding is we had a phenomenal prayer meeting that night. And so I'm excited about that. And listen, let me tell you something. When you start praying, demons start causing trouble. Amen. But we've overcome that, and I ain't worried about that mess. Are you? Nah. Come on, this ain't Bell Funeral Home. Y'all with me? Come on. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Secondly, immediately after church, they're going to start construction on the stage. If you would like to be a part of that, just hang out. Everybody, I think, was going to bring a change of clothes. David's got some food for everybody. I think he brought in a pot of something, so... It's a big pot of something, and I saw some saltines, so y'all got some crackers at least. So that's going to be that back there going on. Also, food pantry, help us keep that filled up. There should be eye care cards and stuff on the foyer table. And the last announcement I need to make, which April always says is the most important announcement that I never make, I need to tell y'all, I've been dealing with an inner ear infection, but I've overcome that in Jesus' name, but it causes me to deal with vertigo. And so if y'all see me like a big head baby, I just kind of just stay with me. I ain't been drinking. I've been laying in the bed for a couple days trying to overcome this. And bless God, the Word works, so I ain't going to deal with it any longer. And not only that, April always gets on to me. I had a shot of steroids. And she said, anytime I have a shot of steroids, I get real mean. So first three rows. I apologize now. No, I'm playing. Jesus is good, isn't He? Take your Bibles and go to the book of Mark. Last week we went back to the basics. I'm still going to continue to teach you sonship, and I'm going to ease into this sonship stuff again and kind of reteach it from a different angle real soon. But the Lord's told me to go back to some basics and some things. And to do that, I need to really just kind of retouch on some things that help me in my life and help me through the Word to kind of pull me back to a place where I was focused. So Mark chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 1, guys. I'm reading out of the New King James. They're going to be putting the King James up there. And whatever you've got, just read along with me. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when Jesus saw from afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." And he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he said, "What is your name?" And he answered him, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Verse 10, stay with me. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. And there was about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down to the steep place and drowned in the sea. Y'all know this story, but it's really important that we get all this out. Verse 14. So those that fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city. Now jump down to verse 18. And when he got into the boat and had been demon-possessed, begged him that he might be with him, talking about Jesus. And Jesus said to him, do not permit him, but said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and he began to proclaim Jesus. The Bible says that he printed the word. He printed what had happened for him. He printed these things and gave distribution. He basically was printing, New Testament Bibles. Now, I read you all of that to deal with some aspects of this story. I'm not going to deal with all of it because there's so much in here. But we do have to deal with some aspects of this thing. And there's one often overlooked aspect that really plays into today's life that I've seen it before, and I've seen it time and time again, but I've never really took the time to dig it out and work on it. And this morning in the office, the Lord really just pushed really hard in this one area. And we're going to get there. But the first thing you have to see in this story is Jesus came off the boat with a purpose. He had other meetings to go to and he had things to do, but his main purpose was the first thing he saw. Do you think that he was caught by surprise? Do you think your issue catches God by surprise? Do I think that when I get over in an area of arrogance and pride that God is just absolutely shocked that I would do that? When you run your big mouth, do you think God is surprised by that? God wants you to run your big mouth and get results. Kathy Duplantis has got a teaching tape. I love it. It's called "My Big Mouth Gets Results." She's learned how to keep that attitude on the word. Things come into her life. Now listen, Jesus was moved by compassion to deal with somebody who was hurting. The Bible says, listen, pay attention to what happened here. You've got a demon-possessed man who is all the time chained. Now understand, chains that he put on his head, you'll really research back in this man's life because there's history books about this man. If you'll really research back in his life, he was somebody that was given to hard partying. He was always living a life that he should have been out of. He was always doing things, and he opened these doors. Isn't it amazing that in that day, as primitive as they were, they still believed in demonic activity, but today we just think somebody has an issue, which is just an issue. And we don't see what's going on in our life. Listen, and if I could really get into great detail on some of the things that God's been showing me about this church, it's not time for that yet. But we are fighting a winning battle, but we're still fighting the battle. Because people need to know that, listen, just what we've done is we think just because we got saved and we got a few years under our belt, we ain't got to pray no more. If you've been saved more than 5 years, stand up. You sit right there. Don't wake that baby up. All right, sit down. Those of us, the statistics say, if you've been saved more than 5 years and up, your prayer life has waned. Your worship life has waned. You've fallen off the cliff to the point that you think you got it all knocked. And you find yourself back in things, dealing with issues and thoughts and mindsets that you had overcome, but because you got over to the place that you thought you had it all together, and you and the sad thing is you're still blinded, and you still think you got it all together. And we wonder why people don't go to church. I cannot tell you how many people I hear. You know, I walked in that church, and I know them people. And they ain't no different than me. I hear that everywhere I go. Listen, I've been in different states. Hear the exact same thing. Exact same thing. I was at Pastor Tracy's church in Texarkana. And we would meet people, and they would say very similar things. We come here because it's real. We've been other places. We know them people. How sad. Shouldn't it be that somebody bumps into you and has such an experience? It doesn't have to be a Holy Ghost throwdown at the salad bar, but just something different. That when you get out of your car, people with an issue come running to you. I want to know what you got. Do you realize that's what this is for? This ain't just a fire policy for heaven. Thank God you're going to get there. But you're supposed to be doing great works here. Let me show y'all something in the Word. Now this is verse 7. Guys, y'all, I want y'all to stay with me on this, okay? Throw verse 7 up there for me. Whenever you get it. I know it takes a minute. There you go. And he cried with a loud voice. And he said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? He recognized him. The demons recognized who he was. I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me. For he said, Jesus said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Right? Now go to the next verse. And he asked him, what is your name? Pay attention. The demon ain't gone nowhere. Now Jesus said, come out, but he's still there. And you think you can halfway pray one time and be free. Understand, Jesus had to have a deliverance service. You ever seen them deliverance service? Man, let me tell you something. I remember when I first got saved, there's a lady playing church. I was fresh in this thing. I still had long hair. And they hadn't made fun of me yet enough that I cut it. We were in this little church, and this girl that we knew when she was playing church, and we knew it too. Man, that thing started manifesting. Now understand, I ain't been in church long at all. When I did go to church as a kid, it was a Baptist church. I ain't never seen nothing like this. And this girl starts that on the floor like a snake. Now my little wife. She tackled that woman with a bottle of oil and said, you ain't talking in here. Dump that oil all down that lady's throat and cast that thing out of her. Now, I ain't never seen this before. Ever. And that righteous indignation, you know, that holy anger came over her. and Buddy dealt with it with authority. And I saw it. But I also saw the wrestling match that had to go on to get that thing to understand. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that Jesus had the very same wrestling match. We tend to think that Jesus floated and his feet never touched dirt. We tend to see the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus in the old movies that was always head and shoulders above everybody else and wouldn't get down in the dirt with you. I tend to believe that Jesus would be right in the mud with me, right where I'm at, wrestling with me to get me out. Amen. And he's wrestling with you now, this very moment. Listen, Jesus was the Word made flesh. Amen? And as I'm standing right over there, just as Jesus had to speak with that demon more than once, God told me to tell every single person in this place, the Word is still speaking to you right now. Right now. And it's up to you to choose which part of you listens. Is this too much? Are y'all okay? There are things, and we dealt with this back in the back in the prayer meeting this morning. I'm just going to tell y'all, I don't care who you are in this place. I am tired of people that play. I'm tired of looking in the mirror and seeing somebody who plays. You understand? I'm tired of coming in here and seeing hurting people leave hurting because you got attitude. I'm tired of seeing hurting people come in here, hurting and leave here because I want to preach what I want to preach, not what God says is to be released. I'm tired of hurting people coming in here and leaving hurting because we can't sing the songs that God's calling for because we have to read music. It is time for us to be the Word. And by being the Word, you be the church. And when you be the church, people be healed. They be set free. Amen. People get to the place that they want to come to you. They want to hear what you have to say. And let me tell you something. If people's leaving you in droves, you might want to pay attention to something. There was a time in my life where people were leaving me by herds. But I had it all together, man. It's all their fault. That's called failure waiting to happen. And I fell on my face before the Lord and I said, Lord, I know I've missed it. I know I've screwed up and I had. And I lay it all before you, Lord. I'm fully repentative of everything. And I have never released this publicly. April doesn't even know that this happened. But when I was on one of these benches in the old building, I heard the Lord say to me, if all of my children would be fully repentative. I wonder if the big transparency of life, if God pulled back the curtain on all of our life, would you want to be sitting here right now? Would you want God to see? Because I got news for you. Yeah, you had nothing. But what if people saw it? And I have to ask myself the question, and I started from that day because I was a mess and I had screwed up. Listen, standing in the pulpit on Sundays and screwing up. And I had to ask myself, when I walk up to this pulpit, if the curtain of my life was pulled back, would I be okay with it? Which means I had to clean some things up. Which means I had to realize that I was no better than the man they were hanging with chains and fetters. Was I willing to fall before Jesus and let him work and speak and speak and speak and speak and speak and speak? And how does he speak? Because I read, I read, I read, I read. It don't do just throw it in a worship tape. We were in the men's group a couple weeks ago, and this is what was said. And we got to talk about when I had the flu, and this was confirmed in some other speakers. It just was funny to me. And I remember when I had that flu, and you got to understand, that flu knocked me down. And I don't get sick like that. It's one thing to have a little battle here and there, but that flu knocked me down. What was it, almost 3 weeks I was in the bed? That's unheard of for me. Since I've gotten saved, that's just unheard of. Except for the fact that my gallbladder blew up, my appendix shot out. Other than those two things. I'm okay. But I was laying there, and they brought some food up to me, and I'm laying. I have to be careful because if I lay too far, I'm going to keep going. So I'm laying there, and I'm looking at this food because I'm eye to eye with my nightstand where my clock is. And I know that food is absolute nourishment to get me free from this. I know it. And I know that in that, what was it? I think it was roasted potatoes. Anyway, perfect protein, perfect amount of carbohydrate. Everything was just perfect. And it was just sitting there like a commercial, just perfect. But yet it's still sitting there. And unless I took the fork and just made myself get up and put it into my body, all of that protein is not going to do any good until it gets inside of me. And y'all walk in here every Sunday with your protein all pretty. And you open it when I tell you to. And you close it. And then where does it sit? All week long. And if that was just, if that was how we treated our bodies when it come to meals, wouldn't none of us have to exercise? Now, what is your point? My point is, Jesus had to speak to the demoniac, to Legion, more than once. But Jesus has opened the door through grace and love to speak to you every day. Every single day. Through every single breath that you breathe, you have an opportunity to hear what thus saith the Lord. You have an opportunity, especially in churches like this, where you've stood here and men of God have come through here and spoken prophecies over you. Man, take that thing, memorize that thing, write that thing down, and you remind God what He said about you. Because you're actually reminding yourself. And you're taking hold to the horns of the altar, and you're doing what He's told you to do by releasing what He's told you to release, and your life gets in order. I got tired of living a chaotic life. I got tired of it being good today and bad tomorrow. I made up my mind I can have a good day every day. Now, does that mean that we don't discuss things aggressively? No. Anybody that tells you that's a liar. Because you got two big personalities in the same house. Big personalities. And she ain't scared either. Now, what am I trying to get you to understand? Listen to the fact that not only did Jesus speak and contend to get this person free, but ask yourself why. Because he worshiped. And he was crying out. And he was hurting himself. He knew he was a mess. He knew he had problems. He knew he had issues. He knew he had put himself where he was. He knew that he was in the tombs. And there is a very significant key to being in the tombs that we often overlook. And that is God's way of telling you in a parable using Jesus, stop touching dead things. Stop touching what's dead in your life. You are aborting your destiny. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, I see it so clear in this room. There's such greatness in this room. Listen, when I talk about my church to people, my face lights up. Because there's not one person that walks in this door that I can't say, man, there's greatness in them. But you got to realize it. And every time you touch a tomb, you're digging a tomb for your destiny. Every time you touch a dead thing, you're sowing the seed of death into what God has for you. And he was living, pay attention, he was living in the tombs. Now here's the kicker. Now this is where you got to get up off your rump and do something. He was hurting himself. He was cutting himself. He was crying out. He was saying, somebody help me. I don't want to be this way. Good God in heaven, how did I find myself here? But when he saw freedom, he moved. The church don't move anymore. We leave these altars open for sinners. And most of the biggest sinners are the people hiding behind the facade of the chain, unwilling to cry out, touching dead things, living a life that you can't even remotely, you can't release life in anybody else because all you're touching is death. You know how I know? I spent years doing it. Now, I could blame my training. I could blame religion. I could blame relationship. I could blame this one. I could blame that one. Listen, we all got reasons, but there it comes a time when you have to look at yourself. And the hardest person to look at when you're touching dead things is you. Because what you see in the mirror is not what you left a few weeks ago. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be shaven in the morning and see the spirit of death on me. I do. I know what it's like to see that spirit of addiction hovering back around me, trying to pull me back in. I know what it's like to get phone calls. Listen, because of my musical background, I know what it's like to get phone calls from musicians that are making money saying, hey, won't you just come see our setup? Just come on. But I walk into that tomb one time. And all of a sudden, I want to play again. Oh, man, come on, I can do that. Trust me, I can go play a few Black Sabbath songs and be saved. Yeah, I could be. But what am I releasing when I come talk again? Dead things. Yeah, I could go sit in a studio and just throw down some tracks for some people, but then all of a sudden, you threw down some tracks, let me hear that. And then the lyrics over the tracks that I threw down, do I really want somebody hearing that? Is that the voice that God gave me? Or is that me using the talent to worship myself, which is what got me in the tombs to begin with? And we forget that there is this ever contentious battle. There's word on the inside of you, and there's a cemetery on the inside of you. And I want to know where you're living. Because the word is life. No matter where you're at, it's life. No matter where you have, the beauty of Jesus contending with Legion is the simple fact that what's holding you back can't hold you there if you'll just listen to me. Just listen. He loves you so much. It doesn't matter who on this planet loves you. It doesn't matter who's made you mad. It don't matter who's thrown you away. It doesn't matter who's told you you're worthless. It doesn't matter. Those dead things are just that. They're dead things. But I'm telling you, life loves you. Amen. Jesus loves you. Amen. He cares about where you're at. And He cares about your restoration. And He cares about your healing. And He cares about your voice. Keep on, devil. It's nobody else's fault. The words you let come out of your mouth. This man was fully possessed, but he still couldn't blame the devil. Do you realize that when you place yourself in a situation, nobody picked you up and put you there? When I wake up, whether I've had a shot of Decadron or not, the things I say I'm responsible for. Amen, is that what you says? I can't take no shot, I get so mad. Every time the doctor says, I think we're going to give you a steroid shot, April goes, no. She locks me in my room. She brings me 3 hots and a cot, and that's how it's going to be till that shot's out of my system. If you only knew how much Jesus loves you. If you only knew it. I stand up here and I preach it and I don't fully know it. A man who is willing to allow his own flesh to be ripped from his rib cage so that your heart would be made whole. A man who let the very scalp that held the brows over the most beautiful eyes on the planet was ripped from his skull so your mind could be free. A man who allowed nails to be put in his hands so that everything you touch prospers. Nails through his feet so that everywhere you walk, you have authority. But you gotta let him talk. You gotta let him talk to you. You gotta let him talk to you. And you got to let him work with you. And Legion didn't want him to talk. Legion said, listen, don't torment me anymore. Don't say anything else to me. But yet the man still worshiped. And listen, I'm telling you, and this is corporately across this body, there are things in every single person in this room that the enemy's trying to tell you. It's like you're being torn. You've been in such a battle. And I'm telling you that if you will continually let this word get in you and you'll get back to that place in your first early stages of Christianity and you let that word wash over you, that mess is coming out. Out. But we place too much emphasis on man. Well, somebody's got to come cast this out. No, you are covered in the blood of Jesus. Do you realize that what April had to go through when she cast that devil out of the woman? That is the extreme circumstance. You're actually supposed to let the word work. That was somebody who was playing games. And God has no tolerance for people playing games. My absolute favorite scripture in the Bible is the spitting scripture. You're lukewarm or you're hot or you're cold. Or I love that. I don't know why. Some of y'all just a loogie. Y'all laugh, but that's true. Y'all know right after you have a yogurt and it's just kind of hanging out. And you're just like, why is that there? What purpose does that serve? Lukewarm Christians, what purpose do you serve? You're actually irritating. That thing sits on the back of your throat, and I know it's gross. But it drives you crazy, especially you women, because y'all ain't going to do what a man would just roll down the window and get rid of that sucker. Y'all contend with that thing back and forth, that it'll hang on and slide back and hang on and slide back. Ain't got time for that. And God created man in his own image, so God's going to hock that sucker out. I don't want to be lukewarm. Y'all let that settle in. Think about that. I don't want to be the irritant to the body of Christ. You should never want to be the irritant to the body of Christ. We have placed ourselves in a very unique position as Christians. Y'all have heard me say this before and I'll say it again. We have been put, this is our only job. This is why you breathe. You have been put in a unique position to speak to God on the behalf of people. But yet speak to people on the behalf of God. And if you're doing anything outside of that to hurt that purpose, you're lukewarm. Well, that's just killing y'all's joy, ain't it? I had y'all laughing when we was talking about snot. But this is why it matters. Because God needs a passionate pursuit. Passionate. Passionate. And as a pastor, I'm crying out to God for this church to be passionate or to be purged. Because people need to know they're loved. And you realize it's not just my job to do it. We're a body. I'm the guy with the hot mic. And the minute I screw up, this hot mic could be given to the next guy. And the minute that I fail, it can be handed off to them. And that's fine. But the work of Christ goes forward. He needs you. We don't like to think about God as having needs. Y'all okay? Give me 10 more minutes. We don't like to think of God as needing anything from us. But do you realize that God needs you to love your neighbor? That God needs you to love the jerk at work? God needs you to show love to His people? God needs you to carry yourself in a fashion as if He was here, because you are actually the carrier of the glory of who He is. I love my kids with all my heart. And if they don't carry themselves like I think the Bailey name should be carried, I have no problem with snatching a knot. Neither does she. Because we've raised them to have dignity. We've raised them to carry themselves in a manner that they project Christ. Not Alan. Christ. The anointed one and His anointing. Yeah, they can have fun. And I mean, people think you're so prudish about it that you can't live life. But the truth of the matter is, life ain't worth living without Jesus. Oh. Let me tell you something, man. I wake up every day, I could find 10 reasons to quit. But I only need one to keep going. He's still speaking to me. He still loves me enough to trust me. Do you realize He still loves you enough to trust you? See, I'm the type of person, you violate my trust once or twice, I'm done with you. I'll love you for the rest of your life, but I'm done with you. I love you. I'll sow into you. If God says promote you, I'll promote you. I'll do all those things, but you'll never get in here again. God ain't like that. God is always looking to trust you with something. And that's why I say, no matter what man says, if you'll, even in your worst state, do what this man did. He fell on his face before Jesus, which was an act of saying, I want free. And Jesus contended for him. And I'm telling you this, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you one more time, and this will be my final time, Jesus is contending for you on your behalf. He's fighting for you. He's hungry for you. He wants you close. He wants you hearing. He wants you releasing what He only wants you saying what He's saying, because what He's saying is going to bring blessing into your life. He wants you free, but He's willing to fight for you. He died for you. And all you have to do, oh God, oh, listen to the simplicity. He had to listen. All he had to do was listen. Now I speak to the spirit of deafness in this church. In the name of Jesus, loose your grip. Every moment of every day, they hear your voice. Every moment of every day, they choose to follow you. Every moment of every day, they know that they know that they know your desire is that they be free. And I pray that that hunger begins to burn inside of them like never before. The passion like never before. The praise like never before. God, we remember when you set us free. Lord, we remember when you saved us and you brought us out of everything that was stopping us. Lord, we remember when you sowed into our lives and gave us what everybody told us we couldn't have. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us a mighty long way. Lord, we thank you that even the clouds and the sun praises you, but your people worship you. Let the worshipers arise, and let his enemies be scattered. And Father, I thank you that today, freedom has been released. And I pray, Lord, that freedom is received. And I pray that people take it and they learn from it and they go forward and they become everything you've called them to become. I speak into who they are, not what they're doing. They are mighty men and women of God. They speak the word with authority and power. Everywhere they go, they have authority and they release what you tell them to release. They're completely obedient to you. And they are the church. And it begins today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Such a heavy anointing. Stand to your feet. Holly, would you come play softly for just a minute? David, I want the whole praise team up. Whole praise team. Come on, church, just lift your hands up and begin to worship. Father, we thank you.